Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today, our thoughts on meditation. How should we undertake meditation? When you do the practice wholeheartedly, various experiences will show the wordless truth. By being unimpaired by sinking, lack of energy, or heaviness, sealed by centeredness and recollection. If you stay abiding in this view, that is meditation. Today we're going to talk about Kanchi Sosan, who is the third Chinese ancestor. The first one was Bodhidharma, the second Taisho Eka, and she is the third. She died in 606, and the story is with her hands in Gassho. Kanchi Sosan could be a woman. We have no facts to confirm that she is. However, there is enough of the right kind of information in my mind to suggest she is, and I'm not alone. It is quite possible and even likely that she was a woman and a female master of our tradition. So for this retreat, I am going to address Kanchi Sosan as a woman. And now I'm going to tell you how I came about this decision. She is one of our ancestors in our tradition that we recite her name every morning. And in the Denkho Roku, as you probably already know, each ancestor's life is explained. And the facts of their life are also in there, some of the facts anyway. For whatever reason, we don't know much about her life. In fact, in all of the ancestors, she is the one that we know probably the least about. Okay, so very little is known. And here are a couple of reasons why that might be. During her life, Buddhism was severely suppressed by the Chinese government. She was told by her teacher, Taisho Eka, to go hide in the mountains until the political climate changed and it was safe for her to come out of hiding. She wandered alone for at least 10 years without a permanent temple or place to live. This means there probably wasn't much information recorded about her life during this time. Also, during the time of the government suppression of Buddhism, which was during this time, a lot of records and information of Buddhist monks were destroyed. Another reason is that under Confucian ideas of the time, there were three laws that all women obeyed. They obeyed their father, husband, and son. And if she is a she, she probably did not have the same opportunities as men did to pursue anything outside of her limited world. And this is, you know, conjecture, and this is what was going on at the time during her life. What reason is there to believe she was a woman? In preparing for this talk, I had several conversations with River Master Khoten. And if you're interested, he did a Dharma talk called Ancestral Line and Women that is available on the Lionsgate Priory website. And in that talk, he says, it is a fundamental mistake of common sense to understand that all the ancestors were men. Many years ago, River Master Khoten and River Master Hubert had conversations about this very topic. As we all know, River Master Hubert died this last early spring. But he was our translator, and he and River Master Khotun had this conversation. River Master Khotun said that River Master Hubert thought that Kanchi Sosan was a woman. And there's a lot of ambiguity about her life. The question came up, well, why not see her as a woman, a female master? With the basis being that there are female monks in our ancestral line. River Master Jiu was very interested in finding out who they might be. She felt that there were at least 5 or 6 female ancestors in our line and asked both of these scholar monks to, in their life, you know, working, to see if they could find that information. Another aspect of this is that Kanchi Sosan had the type of koan that women often have. And I think most of us have read The Wild White Goose, where River Master Jiu says that women, more than men, suffer greatly from their koan of inadequacy. And this is the koan that Kanchi Sosan brought to her master, Tai Soeka. It was a koan that there's something wrong with me, and can you help me or take it away? And this is what she brought to him. And this is the conversation she had with him that comes from the Denkoraku. Tai Soeka was teaching the Dharma to an assembly. She came out of the crowd, bowed to him, and said, I have a problem. Eka said, can you show it to me? Kanchi Sosan paused for a very long time, then said, I have been searching for it my whole life, but cannot find what the problem is. Tai Soeka said, you have searched for it your whole life, but cannot find it? Doesn't it tell you something about the nature of its existence? Thus pointing out to the illusory nature of things. This was her first encounter with her teacher. It could be she didn't have any kind of illness that had some kind of physical symptoms that were recognizable. But perhaps what she was saying was that she knew of a universal nature and wasn't able to show it. Because it is a thing that cannot be shown. She may, this is conjecture, have already had a sense of Buddha nature or universal nature, but had never met anyone with whom she could talk about such matters. Continuing on with her conversation with Eka. Eka said, it is fitting that you dwell in accord with Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Eka, seeing how profound Kanchi Sosan's capacity for the teaching was, shaved her head, saying, you are a treasure. It is fitting for me to give you the name Sosan, resplendent jewel of the Sangha. When she came to talk to Taiso Eka, she was very ready to hear the Dharma, the teaching of original nature. And Eka didn't waste any time shaving her head and so that she could become a monk. How did Kanchi Sosan develop that which she learned from Taiso Eka? Was her question answered so it was satisfactory? Could she then just let it go and move on to something else? Or did she take Taiso Eka's teaching and encouragement and try to understand it for herself in the actions of her life? We do have a Buddhist work that she wrote, which illustrates the effort she made in her life to recognize original nature in herself and then to offer it to others. It is a poem called That Which Is Engraved Upon the Heart That Trusts to the Eternal. Here is a verse from that poem. Outside, don't get tangled in things. Inside, don't get lost in emptiness. Be still and become one, and it all stops by itself. The words of the poem Kanchi Sosan wrote come from her meditation. She is showing us the way to find it within ourselves. Her view is big. It includes her words and thoughts of the poem, and she is speaking from the place of being one, not just saying it. How can we change our view to be more expansive? Oftentimes, our focus is on a pretty small view, really, if we think about it. The problems we have, the things we want, the things that we wish we didn't have or were better or gone. We seem to spend an awful lot of time thinking about these kinds of things. A way to change our view is this. It's an illustration. Walking along a beach, a shell washes up with a wave. It is beaten up, worn out. The shell used to house a living creature, but that has changed. Looking at the shell, we are obviously focused on the shell. Expanding our view by thinking, the shell came from the ocean, which is very big, body of water. It's very big. For us, we can learn to look at the shell and also become aware of its home, the ocean, at the same time. Then our view changes from being focused on a small thing. We can look at our problems and also know there is a bigger space, a much bigger space than our problems. To effectively change our view, we have to learn how to be aware of a bigger space, then hold it lightly. We can learn this way that there is a bigger world than just our problems. And Kanchi Sosan points out in her poem, by being still or meditating, the oneness of all things appears naturally, and the divisions we create lose their edge. Homage to all the Buddhas, worlds. Homage to all the bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.